Hello, everybody. I am Dieter Kalt, and this is my show 74 once more. This is episode 4 of season 1, and today I'm really proud to be able to introduce you to my guest, Anders Olsson. He comes from Sweden. He has seen the world from a coaching standpoint for many years already. He was coaching in Sweden, in Germany, in Switzerland on all different levels. Has a great reputation working with junior players, and now he's coaching on a pro level. Welcome to my show, Anders.
Thanks. I'm happy to be on board.
I know it's a tough time of the year. It's in the middle of the playoffs, and you just had a huge game in the Swiss A-League last night. You won against Bern. Congratulations, leading the series 3-2. So I know how it is to take time off your schedule when your head is really somewhere else and talk about coaching and about life in general. So I really appreciate that. I would like you to introduce yourself a little bit and describe a little bit what led you to coaching, why you started at an early age, and a little bit about the stations that you have behind you already.
I'm 43 years old. I'm a father to two kids, and I've been coaching now for 21 years. I think I actually started with coaching in a young age. I always wanted to be a coach, and that's what it started. I had a car accident when I was 23 years of age, and I was a player back then, and I loved the game, and I had to find something to do, and I found back to the things I love, and that was hockey. So I went back to the roots and started to coach a junior team back home. And then I was coaching for 2 years. And then I took my first pro team, senior team, and have a good season there. We went up one division. And then I went to HV 71, working there for 2 years. And then I went to 3 years in Adler Mannheim, in your old club. And then I went back home again to Jönköping, HV 71. And then I did this journey to Switzerland and Davos. So, and now I'm Biel. So I've been coaching 21 years and been a great experience so far.
Well, that's you know, still young age and a lot of experience, a lot of stations behind you. So what I understand that big incident that happened during young age that you could not play anymore. You found that you had to find something, some new motivation, wanted to stay in sports. So how hard was that for you? First of all, to watch others continue with what you loved so most, what you loved the most yourself. And then secondly, to get the respect you need as a coach on that young age.
It was tough, to be honest with that one, because I didn't reach the highest level, as you said. So you have to earn the respect, and then you have to be a study of the game, and you have to care, and you have to be curious, and you have to help the boys and the girls to develop. And that was my thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how long did that take you until you got that kind of security in coaching that, you know, you have the feeling it's a big difference if you're a player and you have this kind of status already, although you might be a terrible coach and know nothing about coaching, but to start with, it's helpful. But you did it the other way. You think that's the way where, you know, you have to work a lot harder to get the respect?
I think so. And if you look at most of the hockey coaches who have been successful, it can be like Scotty Bowman, Taras Ochishonov, Tommy Sandlin in Sweden. Everybody of those guys didn't really, really play the game, not in a high level. And I think you have to be a study of the game, and you have to find a different path and to reach the boys. And sometimes that can actually be better. You have to think a little bit outside the box. Mm-hmm. And that has been a little bit my thing when it comes to develop players and develop the teams to take the next step.
Okay, what is that? You know, what makes a good coach in your opinion? What are the signs of being a great coach?
I think you have to have trust, and the players feel that you care about them, not just on ice, even off ice. You care about them, you care about their families, and you spend time with them and take time with them, and you're ready to listen to their problems and time to time give them tips, solution. And of course, it's different when you're coaching juniors or kids compared to senior players. But you have to be a good mentor for them and give them guidelines.
So when you coach young guys, especially, there's a lot of education to be done. And from my experience, it comes a lot from being able to show everything to them. Let's say you work with young guys who have a high level, pretty high skill level already. And were you able to be that coach also working on the skills and the technical part of it? Or was your strength more like getting really taking care of the kids, really caring for them and giving them everything they need, all the tools that they can do it themselves?
I think coaching nowadays is a lot about teamwork. I have great assistant coaches. I'm a former goalie, so my skating technique and things like this is not... maybe not the best. The stick handling is there, but not maybe the skating technique. So you have to kind of have a good team who can support each other and help each other with things like this. So I'm happy that I have good assistant coaches over the years, and you have to have like tools, work with video and other help things who can help you with. But that was my thing.
Okay. So let's talk about culture a little bit. You know, Sweden, and especially ice hockey in Sweden, has been like the most respected country in that regard, you know, in the hockey regard for me. It feels like there's a common denominator in everything is done is in Swedish ice hockey. Like coaches working together with the federation, clubs working together with the federation. You were working for a great organization with HV71. What makes a good Swedish coach, and what was the specific strength or culture working for HV71?
It was a little bit strange when I went to HV for a couple of years ago. Right, it was a good organization, but when it comes to the culture in the juniors, it was maybe not the best. So we brought the team together and the management together, and we was kind of sitting down and we're talking what goals we should have on ice and off ice, and what kind of demand the club had on the players, and what players have for demand on the clubs. And then it kind of kicked off after that one, and we had were luck, and we had a great captain back then, Niklas Hjalmarsson, who nowadays play in Arizona, who kind of led the boys and was a strong leader. And we tried to help them in school and things like this, and after that the culture was kind of coming along. So, and of course, winning is a big thing also. So we started winning, and we started to raise the level off ice also, to kind of create a good mindset for them.
So what do you think is more important than, you know, you learn more from winning or you learn more from losing?
You learn more from losing. You always get smarter when you lose. So you have to find solutions and find new ways to reach the boys and reach the team. So experience is hard to get, but it's necessary.
So what's your personal approach to failure? What kind of culture of failure do you support? You know, just from own experience growing up in Austria, for example, in the school system, it's more like, okay, try to hit average, try not to be too bad, then you're in trouble. As long as you hit average, that's fine, you know, and try to avoid mistakes. So people grow up, or I grew up being afraid of making mistakes, which was totally opposite with the hockey, where, you know, failure, 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 and practice, practice, practice. What approach do you have, and how is that in Sweden?
I think it's important that you allow mistakes, especially at young age. I think if I compare a little bit to what it is in Switzerland and Germany. I think it's more focused on the discipline in young age, and in Sweden it's a lot about creativity, especially in early age. So you kind of allow mistakes more. And I mean, in the older days, you as a coach, as a leader, you try to get more discipline in the team. And I think in Germany and Switzerland, it's a little bit the opposite. It's a lot of discipline, and you kind of kill the creativity in that. And then it's harder to get creativity in older age. And so you have to find the right mix and the right balance, and you have to allow mistakes and put them out there on ice or on the pitch again. So that's the thing.
So but when I look at Swedish players, you know, what falls into the eyes, everybody's good in everything. Like the basics are so good. You know, there's the basic skating, the receiving, the technical parts, you know, that can be executed with a high tempo. That's where you usually see Swedish guys excel, you know, and playing in a system, knowing your position. And that, you know, makes, it's not like they skate faster or they shoot harder. And it's just the execution of the basic things. That's, you know, that's something that always is recognizable. Where does this come from? Because other countries, other players also work on skills and basics. But why is Sweden special in that regard?
I think they do a lot of sports, multitask sports. They play soccer, they play hockey, they play basket. They do different kind of sports. I think that is a big thing. And nowadays, you are not allowed to have standings like pointing list or scoring lists and things like that. You want to take away a little bit of the pressure from the kids, and you will get that sooner or later. But the coaches and the parents have problems to handle it. So that's why we have that kind of rule back home. And when you are 13 years old, you add more more standings and things like that. So a little bit more demands, but you never force a player to choose in early age. You have to do soccer, or you do have to do hockey and things like that. So I think that's a big part of it. They are used to do many sports, and with that you get creativity and you read the game better, and then you put that in a team concept in the end, and then I think it works pretty well.
Is that? I really understand. I totally agree with that. I think that's great stuff, especially what you said about not looking for results and points and scoring lists and all that stuff early age. That's for sure something that is that might be totally different. Where here in Austria, and I can only speak from Austria, that there is a lot of regard and a lot of interest in standings and who's winning and in this kind of winning mentality. So, and I hear that quite a bit, that, you know, if you take away, you know, everybody should get a medal and everybody should get, you know, they should be happy to be there. And I hear that that's Montessori hockey, like really, and I totally disagree with that. You know, they put it really in a bad context, and where you have to, in order to be good later on, you know, you have to, life is hard, you know, you have to compete and you have to be stronger than your opponent. So, but showing that success from Sweden really gives a totally different picture. But is that a common denominator in Sweden? Is there a lot of discussions about this approach as well? Or
it's a lot to talk about it. And you have a couple of clubs who want to do elite right away with a lot of coaching and so on. And but nowadays is you want to go that kind of road, and you get money from our government to support the clubs around the country. And to get those money, you have to kind of have like a girls program, a woman program, and otherwise you don't receive money from our government. And every club needs those kind of money to take to have like a good foundation. So it's important that you get every piece of it when it comes to sport.
So what did you you know, what made you leave Sweden as a young coach, early age, and start a career in Germany?
I'm love to travel for the first. I'm really opening up for new culture, language, and things like this. So, and I got this great opportunity to go to Mannheim, and that is one of the best clubs in Germany. So I thought this could be a good chance for me to develop as a human and take the next step in my as a leader and get better on my leadership. So I took that chance, and nothing I've been regretting whatsoever, because you got a lot of new people, you expand your network, and I've just been great. I'm just positive to it. So I'm a better coach and a better human today.
Well, one of my old friends, coach forever, famous player, also Alpo Suhonen. He was saying, you know, in order to be a good coach, you know, you have to be coaching for like 30 years before you become a good coach, and before that, you're always going to be a rookie. Do you agree with that kind? You know, is learning ever over?
No, the learning is never over. I do like this. I have a couple of friends who always send me articles in the, to me, and I send articles to people and spread that out to a lot of people I know. I think I send a couple of articles to you time to time, and people love to read it, and they send article back to me. So I always get the article every morning, so I can read and be a little bit better. And when you get more experience, you want to test new things and try new things, and of course there will be mistakes time to time, but you always have to be willing to learn. That's the key, I think.
Well, and that's why I really wanted to talk to you, because you have this great experience in coaching, but still, you know, you always get the feeling you want to know more. You're humble, you know what you know, but you're always interested in what somebody else has to say. And that's, for me, that's the biggest secret of having confidence and having, you know, getting respect by giving respect. Tendency is that people try to really hold on to their knowledge, because there might be somebody else who wanted to take away what they already have. Where I totally agree with you. It seems like, you know, the more you give, the more you get back.
Sure.
So talking about challenges, you know, because you get challenged as a coach, you get challenged as a player, you get challenged from life. What do you think is your biggest challenge, or was your biggest challenge in coaching?
Biggest challenge in coaching, good question for the first. No, I think the biggest challenge is to find a way to make every player that you have a little bit better, and try to find kind of different ways. One thing is not working for that type of player, so you have to find another way. But when I was young age, I was more X's and O's, and nowadays I'm going more and thinking, how can I develop this player more off ice, and how can I get him to take the next step and be more creative or play more discipline and things like that. So that is, I think that's the biggest challenge nowadays for me, is get to know them better, get to know my players better, be more curious on them.
Is that the case also with the professionals? You know, of course you have young guys playing professional in your league, in your team, but maybe also the 35-year-old import. How do you deal with that? Do you have the same approach?
No, you can't have the same approach to everybody, and you can't treat everybody the same. But of course, sometimes you also have to leave the players a little bit alone. I think that is also a key. You can't overcoach some people. So you have to see a little bit where they are and try to find them where they are. So that's the key a little bit, I think.
So do you enjoy working with younger players more than with older players? I know where the glory is. I know where the money is. You know, that's the sad thing. You know, everybody says that the best coaches have to work with the juniors, but the reality is that most of the time there is no money, and somebody has to live, you know, too, and support a family. So a lot of good coaches are aiming for the highest goal to work with the professionals and the professional leagues. But what do you enjoy the most?
I kind of like them both. It's kind of two different sports. So to say like that, as you say, it's more teaching in with younger guys. But I think it's coming to that stage right now when even older players feel like they are missing a little bit of the education in the past. So I feel many of the older players are quite curious also. So I think when it comes to video and give feedback and so on, that will come also when they're older. I feel it more and more, and I think that is a little bit different when it comes to a couple of years ago.
And when you worked many years with the juniors in different countries, do you see a lot of cultural differences between Sweden, Germany, and Switzerland?
As I told you before, it's more discipline in German-speaking countries. I think that comes a little bit from the school. You have like this with see and do. You have that kind of hierarchy in the countries, and time to time is that good, and time to time is bad. But I think it's a lot of focus on discipline, and the hockey culture is a little bit missing in those countries. It's more soccer compared to hockey, so a little bit is missing when it comes to this part.
Mm-hmm. And dealing with parents in the junior system, is that the same in Sweden like it is, as it is in Germany or Switzerland?
I think it's the same problem everywhere. The parents want to play, the son should play more, or it's the same everywhere. And you have always mails and calls that, why is this? Why is my son not in power play or in box play or things like that? So I think that is a universal problem, to be honest.
Well, same here in Austria.
Okay.
So maybe that's the part we have to work on the most, you know, take the care, the parents under control.
Yeah.
Was there a certain moment in your life, you know, after obviously that accident you had early on that made you change your way, that made you rethink how you value things? Is there anything that you can share with us?
Well, I think this car accident has a big impact for me. I got more humble, and I know where I am more today. I know myself a little bit better. And if I was really, really bad, I think I got to find myself a little bit better. And then, of course, when you live abroad and you spend so much time with yourself, you have to get to know yourself a little bit better. And, of course, I took some good educations back in my heydays. Did a two-year leadership course to get to know myself a little bit better. And that was huge for me. You're sitting in a room with 20 person, they kind of analyze you, how you are. I think you get feedback, and they also criticize you. And I think that was tough, but it was also a great experience. And now I get to know myself a lot better. And if you know yourself, and then I think it's more easy to lead others.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years? I think I'm still coaching for sure. I'm still in ice hockey. And I don't know if I'm working in Sweden or work abroad, but I will definitely work with ice hockey and try to help hockey players to take the next step, both on and off ice.
So as a little boy, you had the dream of becoming a hockey superstar, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody else, who was your biggest idol growing up? You were playing as a Målvakt, as a goaltender.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you have any big idols?
Yeah, Pelle Lindberg, of course, a Swedish goalie who played in Philadelphia Flyers in the 80s. He died in accident, in a car accident, unfortunately. But he was a great goalie, and he was my biggest idol. And I even have a hockey player called Mario Lemieux, what I thought was really, really good, how he played and helped the Pittsburgh as a club to reach where they are today. So those two are my kind of hockey idols.
Mm-hmm. And when you turned into coaching, who is your coaching idol? Who's, you know, regardless of the sport, who do you think who had the most impression or impact on your coaching life so far?
I read a lot. I read like one book a week, and I kind of steal so much ideas from everybody. So I'm a little bit the Pirate Bay. A lot of coaches have influenced me, but I go more and more to look at companies and how those leaders work with their companies, and try to think a little bit outside the box, not so much in sport. I think from companies and private sectors, mm-hmm. You can learn a lot from them also. So I go more that direction for the moment. As I told you, in young age, it was just X's and O. Now I kind of go on kind of different path.
So what would you say is your biggest strength?
To get the group together, and they feel they are strong, and then we go and reach the goal.
I just lost you for a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you repeat that last sentence again?
No, bring the team together, and that's my strengths, and get the team together and know this is the challenges was ahead, and kind of get them together and go in the same way, in the same direction. That's my thing a little bit, and get the guys, not just hockey, that is other things out there was good also.
And your biggest challenge, I ask you about that already, but in a technical, you know, really looking into coaching, if you put your coaching staff together, you would like to have an expert complimenting you with what skill?
For the first, I want to have like someone who is not fachmann, hockey idiot. I want to have someone where I can discuss overall problems with and what's going on in the world. But of course, when it comes to this new high tech area, when it comes to computer videos and things like that, it's always good to have let's say a little bit younger guy who knows how the technical things is working.
Okay. Well, you can't have it. You can't do everything by yourself, right? It's getting too complicated. If you look back at your life, what would you tell your old 20-year-old self that you should look and do better than you have done in your life, in your career?
What don't advice? Worry. Yeah, huh? Don't worry so much, and be strong and dare to go your own way, and that is worth that in the end.
I have one final question for you, Anders, since you have so much experience, you know, and you won as a coach quite a bit as well. Championships in Germany, championships in Sweden, worked in, responsible for one of the best junior programs in Switzerland already. What is your definition of success?
Be better every day. A little bit better every day. So be a little bit better.
Well, those are wise words, my friend. Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you taking this time off in the afternoon. And now you can go on preparing for tomorrow's game. PK has to be stronger than ever.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I really wish you all the best. And hopefully next time we talk, I can ask you how it felt to win the championship in Sweden, to be head coach of, what's your favorite team in Sweden?
I don't have any, but let's say HV71 then.
HV71, you're going to be talking head coach Anders Olsson from HV71 in a few months' time. Well, thank you very much, Anders, and good luck. Lycka till.
Thank you.
Tack. All right.